Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Should the consensus view of science always prevail? Darwinists often claim that science isn't democratic, and that students should therefore learn only the evidence which supports Darwin's theory, because that theory is held by the majority of scientists. On this episode of ID the Future, Dr. John West explains that, when it comes to public policy, dissenting scientific views can be critically important. Dr. West is Associate Director of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, and author of the recent book, Darwin's Conservatives, The Misguided Quest. Today's comments are taken from Evolution and Intelligent Design, an Exchange, a panel at a recent conference sponsored by the New Hampshire Humanities Council. Other participants included noted evolutionist and biologist at Brown University, Ken Miller, and Mark Ryland of the Institute for the Study of Nature. The panel was chaired by Michael Dietrich, Professor of Biological Sciences at Dartmouth College.
You know, it's often said, we hear evolutionists say, that science is not democratic. And science, and the consensus view of science held by the majority of scientists, is what public policy ought to follow. And I'd say that science may not be democratic, but public policy is, whether we like it or not. I happen to think it's a good thing. And so when you're talking about the use of public resources, whether it be taxpayer funds for certain types of research or taxpayer-funded schools, that's a public policy, and so you can't just have one group of people, no matter how educated, be the only stakeholders in the conversation. Now, when that does happen, there is a problem. I'd like to give probably the biggest example from our history where the claim was made that scientists alone really should dictate public policy was eugenics, which for about four decades in American history was the consensus view of science, promoted by virtually all leading geneticists and evolutionary biologists at places like Harvard, Princeton. There's a guy, Edwin Conklin, ultimately the head of the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science. In his view, by preserving defectives through charity, natural selection, the great law of evolution and progress is set at naught. This is part of the justification for forced sterilization in America. Similarly, Edward East, a biologist at Harvard, made similar arguments, arguing that eugenics was just a corollary of the theory of organic evolution, and you can read his other quote. Interestingly enough, if you look at who were the opponents of eugenics, there were some scientists, some medical doctors, until close to the 1940s. That was distinctly the minority view. This was the consensus view of science for decades. And some of the most prominent critics, even those who were scientists, happened to have connections to this guy, the Pope at the time, and or they were people like this guy, William Jennings Bryan, Protestant evangelical or fundamentalist, however you want to describe him. They did have, in addition to their public objections to eugenics, obviously they had some religious beliefs that were implicated. In retrospect, they turned out to be right. Would it have been better at the time when college textbooks and high school textbooks were overwhelmingly treating eugenics as good science, that some of the scientific objections that were being raised, even by people who may have had religious backgrounds, were actually alluded to students? I think yes. And I think that is getting at, today, again, you have people who have a variety of religious beliefs. I think all three of us here have various, and I don't know about Professor Dietrich, have various religious beliefs. But there are also, there are scientists, a number of scientists. We maintain a list of now, I guess, 700 doctoral scientists who teach at some of the same universities, who are members of the National Academies of Sciences in places like U.S., Russia, other countries. Who are researchers or teachers at places like Princeton, MIT, University of Georgia, Ohio State University, who are skeptical of the Darwinian mechanism and publicly willing to be skeptical of it. My fundamental point is that I think the right of all people in a free society to have input on public policy, even issues involving scientific expertise, is something that we ought to really protect. Yet really, the way this debate is playing out in America, we're getting a lot of, in essence, argument that some people don't have the right to be part of the public conversation deciding the public policy. There's often three justifications offered for silencing debate. basically, well, the majority of scientists embrace Darwinian evolution. Well, that's true. I'd say so. In most areas, we understand the virtue of minority dissenting viewpoints, and we can talk about that. Or some critics of Darwin aren't scientists. True. Some defenders of Darwin aren't scientists, some of the most vociferous people in the public debate. Again, we understand in most other areas the legitimacy of having different points of view represented. And then critics of Darwin are religious. And I hope that we tease this out. And I say, that's true, but if you look at a lot of Darwinists, they have metaphysical baggage too. And so this is an equal opportunity counselor. And in fact, if you're really saying that people, because they happen to have religious beliefs that track with their, or anti-religious beliefs, that track with some public policy position, that that cancels out their participation, that is really a significantly different America than the one that I know that I actually started out my journey as a scholar on, as of American politics at the founding and early 19th century, defending the church, separation of church and state, and the fact that all citizens, regardless of religious affiliation or not, have the right to enter the public sphere as equal citizens as long as they offer public arguments, reason-based arguments, and have the right to have those arguments taken seriously without people saying, ah, well, you can't say this because your religious belief, you're religious, therefore I cancel everything you say. That's, again, equal, if it was applied across the board, contradicts the ability of most anyone in America to say anything, including many evolutionists who have very pronounced metaphysical beliefs of their own.
That was John West speaking in New Hampshire. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith broadcasting from the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Finn. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.